But before I start, I just want to bring the reading to you. Our reading today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If we are there, I will read. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with those words. That is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together, please. Holy Father, we are proud to call you our Father because in the first place you created us. So, Father, we want to humble ourselves below the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, take my humility, take my humbleness. I want to humble myself right now. I want to humble myself before the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. That all that I'm going to say this morning, coming from the scripture, which is your word, is not my word. It's your word. Let that word that comes from you, Father, from the reading, and even from the preaching, even from the singing, be received. Not as a personal message coming from the one saying it, but it is the word coming from you, Father. Father, receive us as humble as we are. Father, accept our mistakes that we have made in the past and even the mistakes that we might make in this service this morning, Lord. You are a forgiving God. You will forgive them. Father, we are coming before the throne of grace, as humble as we are, being ready to be pardoned. Let the Holy Spirit come and inspire us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you might say, what has gone wrong today? Gilson is not on the stage. You can see there's a lot of decorations going on there. We are in that time of Advent. So I thought, well, I might as well come down on the lower level to be with you. But my message today is a surprise to some of us. I'm going to speak about death. Are you comfortable with that?
No.
Yes, some of you, I know, you are not comfortable. But I'm going to speak about death. The issue of death is what Paul chooses to address in this passage this morning. Because he was asked. But because no one has asked me this morning, but I thought, well, it's an opportunity before you are asked to address it. Yes? Sometimes you might be asked a question and you are not able to answer it. So I decided, let me get them before they get to me. Well, at my age, it's quite strange about when speaking about death. I've actually planned and taken funerals. And when I am doing that and planning those funerals, what comes in my mind? It's death.
Whilst I'm taking other funerals as well, or thinking about it, I'm thinking of my aging mother.
Because one of my grandchildren said a few weeks ago to Sophie, "How old are you?" Sophie mentioned her age, and she carried on. And my granddaughter said, "Well, you'll be 100, and then you die." I don't know why she brought that in her conversation. Little did she know that I was planning a message on death. And when I think of death, I think about the after. What will happen after death? There is always news in our daily lives about death. Today, in today's newspapers, there is a death of a nurse who is alleged to have committed suicide because of a telephone hoax about the princess of Cambridge who was in hospital. And the nurse committed suicide. And other writers also have written a lot of books which have sold so well because of this death. Hence, I thought of talking about death today. Paul is addressing this, though it's in a different setup. It can also be to us in the same situation. We are caught up in the same situation as well, because we live similar lives to the lives of those people at Thessalonica who asked Paul, "What will happen to our friends and relatives who have died?" Have you come across that question in your life as well today? Death itself brings a lot of suffering. There's a lot of things that happens when someone dies. Yes? But that death should give us an opportunity this morning to reflect and meditate. Do you get me? The opportunity of death should give us the opportunity to reflect and meditate on our lives as well. What is that is awaiting for us? So what is the issue here? The Thessalonian believers had an issue about their loved ones. But I'm surprised when they were asking Paul, they didn't ask about themselves. So they were not selfish. So it's like you today, this morning as well. Are you asking about those who have gone, not about yourself? Well, the people at Thessalonica were not asking about themselves. I am saying, myself included, I want to ask about myself as well. What will happen to me when I am no longer present in this human body? Some of us have witnessed a lot of relatives who have died. We know what it is like to grieve. That idea of grieving should bring some sober thoughts in each and everyone this morning. This grieving caused Paul, with what he identifies in verse 13, he says, "Do not grieve like those of the world without hope." In reality, some of the choices that we make in life make people to reflect on their hope and hopelessness. It is our choices. Because Paul is saying here, don't grieve like those in the world. Grieve with hope. I know it's difficult when you are faced with such a situation. You grieve like what the world do. There's wailing when your loved one has died. And you're allowed to grieve as well. David, when his son with Bathsheba died, he went without food before the child died. He was grieving. His servants came to him and said, "Well, your son has died." Then he had something to eat. We are allowed to grieve. But Paul is saying, grieve with hope. Amen? That's the idea. Because we have got the hope in Christ. Because he is our Lord. In reality, some of the choices that we make and decisions that people make reflects on their hope and hopelessness. If we look in society today, we see these things happening. There's an advert which goes on TV actually saying, "Well, try this aging
anti-aging cream, if you use it, you will remain young. Don't be fooled. My daughter was saying the other day to me, Dad, your hair is getting gray. Why can't you dye it off? I said, you are cheating the outside world, but the inside world, which is known to God, knows what is your age. Why am I saying this? I'm saying that the choices that we make are the ones which lead us astray. Why would I have to go for an aging cream when God knows my age anyway? Those are the choices that we make. Here, Paul is telling us that don't grieve without hope, because we have got the hope in Christ. So we make the choices ourselves. Do we wail like the world does when someone dies? Grieve with hope, because we've got a living God. The type of society Paul is mentioning here, though it was the Thessalonians, if you look at it, it can reflect what we are in today. That society was divided. You remember, they were just new Christians. They were divided. There was pagan worship, and now there was Christianity. So there were people torn in between. We are caught in the same predicament today. We are living within a society which is divided. There are a lot of pagan worshiping going around. There is a lot of worshiping going around finances. I heard Tony talking about a church which is worshiping monetary issues. It happens in our society. This is exactly what was happening in this Thessalonica church. They were divided from where they were coming from. As new Christians now, they didn't know which way to go. And then Paul says, don't grieve like the world does, because you are a different lot now. You are Christians. There is someone ahead of you you should look forward to. So that society is just like what we are today. So Paul gets there. He's addressing these issues. Not only the issue of death, as I said to you. Paul doesn't call it that way. He says they've gone to sleep. Amen? How will you treat this someone if he comes to a funeral and says, stop grieving, this person has gone to sleep. I tell you, that person will be murdered. Because the relatives will be mourning someone, and you come with such a statement and said, don't worry, he has gone to sleep. Paul knew what he was saying, but he was not only not addressing one issue. He was addressing several issues. His attention here is trying to get the attention of his listeners, his hearers. He wanted to get attention deep down to what they were thinking. He says he is going to sleep. That way, he attracted them. How can he say that? We have brought this question to him because we want to know what is happening to our friends and relatives. He's not doing this in his own effort and ability. He has got the strength of the Holy Spirit. He's got the grace and love of Jesus Christ. You remember Paul's history? He met Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. Yes? So he's speaking with evidence and strength of the Holy Spirit. With hope also that Christ will come. And when Christ comes, we are all up there with him. He addresses this. He covers resurrection. He covers eschatological issues as well. He covers encouragement in his last verse. Paul goes on to encourage these believers of the Thessalonian church. He also wants to encourage all of us this morning. But he still wants us to have hope, not hopelessness. Because we are a people of hope. Without hope, we perish. Then he talks about resurrection, because he's answering their questions bit by bit. You know, when you are giving a small child food, don't overload them with food. They will suffer from, what do you call it? Obesity is after eating, but when you are still eating, what's indigestion? Yes, exactly. So you give them bit by bit, yes? This is exactly what Paul was doing here. He was scaling down that death issue bit by bit, trying to answer what this church of the Thessalonians wanted to know. Now he starts with the resurrection. Paul says, according to the Lord's word, he declares, that's Paul, because it's the Lord's word. Lord, the Lord himself on that day, he will come down from heaven. Listen to this. He paints that glorious picture that attracts everyone. Because I said to you, his idea was to attract and to connect his audience. He is painting that glorious picture of that day. This, picturing Jesus Christ in the clouds. This is what Paul is saying. When he's painted that glorious picture, he says a command with the voice of an archangel. Michael is the leader of the angels, isn't it? Not this Michael or the other Michael. He comes with that command. When he has done that, yes, it's a big event. It's happening. Now that picture is in us. Jesus himself from the sky is around that area. Isn't this attracting you this morning? To be part of that parousia group. Parousia is the coming of Jesus Christ. On that day, when the parousia parade is parading, you are one of them. But wait before you celebrate to be one of them. I trust we all like to be one of those people in that group. If it wasn't that case, I was not going to preach to you this morning. Why should I? I am preaching to you because I have got the hope to meet Jesus Christ one day. When that parousia of Jesus Christ is approaching, I want to be one of them. Paul then goes on to describe the eschatological way of how things will happen. Eschatology. Maybe someone wants to know, what is that eschatology? This event is the last event only found in the Christian calendar. Amen? So Christians are blessed. Nowhere else where you found this. The eschatological event is a Christian calendar. Only God has made it possible and has determined it is for the Christians. He goes on to describe the first. The first. Listen to my Bible, what it says. 1 Corinthians 15. If I find it, I'll read that to you. Don't worry about getting it. I'll read to you. It's Paul as well who wrote that. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all asleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishables have been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That's the word of God. This is what Paul is saying here. Now, when that has happened, those who have already died, he's now answering that young church. Your relatives who have died, don't worry. When Christ comes, when that trumpet sound has been sounded, Christ will come. He will raise those who have died. Yes? So this is why I said, you must grieve with hope, what Paul wrote here. This is what he was saying. Those who have gone to sleep, as Paul says. I prefer to use the word death this morning so that we remain engaged together. Because the moment I mentioned death, there were some other voices rumbling from all corners. That way I was engaging with you. Paul said they have gone to sleep. Because they're going to be raised at that time. He goes on to describe that the first people to see Christ are the dead ones. If we are still alive, we will be the last ones. Amen? Don't be disgruntled. So, if you are still alive, you'll be the last ones. But if you've gone to rest by that time, you'll be the first one. I think Paul, when he was writing this, he thought Christ was about to come as well. Because he was including himself with the living ones. but not. And I say not. That verse 14 says that we believe in the death and the resurrection. Amen. And Christ will bring our dead relatives with him. Those who have fallen asleep. Only those who died knowing and have accepted Jesus Christ as their savior are the ones to be raised first. Unfortunately, my sermon today is not to preach about those who didn't know Christ when they died. It will be another sermon for another day. But for today, it's for those of our fellow believers who have died. That is where my concern is, as Paul was also on that day. I am assuring you, because we are people with hope. They have gone to sleep. Amen. They are asleep. You know, when people have gone to sleep, some of them are cremated. Don't ask me what will happen when it's resurrection time. God knows what to do. But those who go to the cemetery, cemetery is a graveyard. Do you agree with me? What do we do there? We bury dead bodies. In my culture, cemetery has got a name that we use in my vernacular language. It's called Rinda. That word means you are waiting, guarding. So cemetery is a place to wait. Yes? So they've gone to sleep. One day, they'll be woken up. Only by the voice of the archangel. When he sounds that trumpet, they will be raised. Such people will meet Christ first before you. Yes? This passage here, I believe, is here to glorify God this morning. If someone has heard this message for the first time, I'll glorify God this morning. Right, Paul goes on to say, there is an order of events. If you think there was chaos in heaven, my brother and sister, you got it wrong. There's no chaos in heaven. Everything is orderly. You've got to follow that order of events. If there was no order in heaven, Michael wouldn't have chased the devil from heaven. It says in Isaiah, the devil was kicked from heaven. Michael, the leader of the angels, is the one who did it. They kicked him. That shows an order of things that are happening. The Bible says, we who are left behind, if we are still alive, when Christ is coming, we will be second. That is an order of events. You don't just, there's no queue jumping here. No. You've got to follow that event. Let those who have gone to sleep come with Christ first. Then you and me, if we know the Lord, we will then join in that orderly formation. Yes. Do we need our birth certificate here? No, we don't need them. Maybe you might need your death certificate, because it says those who have gone to sleep will see Jesus Christ first. But let me give you a warning. We don't need any paperwork when it's about heaven things. All our names are in that book of life. Revelation talks about this book, a book of life, where your name is if you have accepted Christ as your savior. So if you haven't, this is your opportunity. Right. Here, the events Paul is talking about, he's talking about events that the church was suffering. We are also a suffering church today. The events that were mentioned in here, we meet them today. There's broken down relationships. We are suffering. Some people are ill. There's a lot of things happening that we sometimes wonder, God, what is this? Some people end up saying there is no God, but God is there. Remember, that suffering that you are going through, he is beside you. When there's hunger, wars and everything, miscarriages, murder, lack of friends, and death itself, God is with you. Get me right. God is with you. Because don't forget, your body is the temple of the living Holy Spirit. He lives in you. So whatever is going on in your life, he is with you. You are moving together. This is what Paul is saying. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about how things are going to be. He has broken down everything concerning death, what will happen. And he assures them, be people with hope. They have gone to sleep. One day, when the archangel blows that trumpet, they will be raised. And the assurance is, they will be raised first. These are not my words. It's the Lord's word. Yes? So Paul, as he's informing that church at Thessalonica, he's also informing us thus. Don't grieve without hope. We've got a living Christ who died and conquered death himself. And God resurrected him. So we too will follow Christ and will be raised in that orderly form. Those who have gone to sleep first, then us who are still alive. When you see these events happen, when this parousia grouping is starting to happen, New Jerusalem is on the horizon. Things are coming to an end. But don't say Gilson said things will be coming to an end. It's not me. The word of God says no one knows about it. Mark 13 verse 13 says, it's only the Father who knows it. When things are going to come to an end. But I'm only saying, when you see this parousia starting to happen, because it is the coming of Jesus Christ, the New Jerusalem is on the horizon. I want to read to you verse 14 again, as we go along. In that passage that we read today, listen to this. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's God's message. The answer to those people in the Thessalonian church, that is the answer they wanted. Because they didn't know what is happening. So I'm also saying, confirming with the word of God, those who have gone to sleep will come back and witness Jesus Christ first before us, then we will join in. I believe this is all what all Christians believe in. They are Christians, people with a hope. We believe Jesus Christ died and rose again. We too will be raised from the dead when he comes, if we are dead. But if we are still alive, we will join into the clouds to meet our Lord. I cannot wait for that glorious day. What about you? Are you ready for that glorious day? Yes? If you are not ready, my brother and sister, you better do something. Because this is why we are Christians. We are waiting to be with the Lord one day, forever and ever. Yes, we might have salvation now. We have a benefit of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. But are you ready for that happiness that will come on that day when we meet our Lord? We have the deposit of salvation in us. So we ask and plead with the church. Look at the church at Thessalonica. They were actually guaranteeing people of that hope. So this church must guarantee us. Though we are in this physical suffering and the physical death, we will be resurrected with Christ one day. Amen? Amen. I've read that verse 14 to you. This is the events that will happen. We might go to sleep now or we'll be caught alive that time. We will meet Christ. This is the good news we all want to hear. We all possess the internal salvation and internal hope. This should steer you up this morning as a believer. Do you have the hope? I do. Listen to this quote. A writer called... No, he's not a writer. He used to be a preacher. His name is Martin Luther King Jr. He wrote this. I hope you can find some consolation from Christianity's affirmation that death is not the end. Death is not a period that ends the great sentence of life, but a comma that punctuates it to more lofty significance. Death is not the blind alley that leads the human race into a state of nothingness, but an open door which leads the man into life eternal. Let this daring faith, this great invisible surmise, be your sustaining power during these tiring times. Amen. We can go all these sufferings in this world, but our hope is to be with Christ. This suffering is just a stepping stone. Do you know sometimes sufferings and tribulations make you a hard nut to crack? When you've gone through that suffering, You are now stronger than what you thought you were. So sometimes suffering is used to bless you. God uses suffering to bless other people. Christ himself promised us in John 14 verse 1 to 3. He said, I'm going there. My Father has got lots of houses, a lot of rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. When I have prepared that place for you, what will I do? That's Christ, not me. Christ said, I will come back and do what? Take you with me. Oh, this is the word of God. It's not me. This is the word of God. No wonder Paul was trying to encourage the Thessalonians at that young church. Don't grieve without hope. Christ is going to come and take you. Even though your body goes to sleep, you mustn't worry about those relatives of ours who are sleeping right now in the cemetery. I told you, cemetery is a waiting place. Bodies rest in the cemetery, waiting for the day Christ will come to resurrect them. The Bible tells us the truth that those who have gone to sleep will be resurrected first. That way, Paul is now telling us, to encourage us. His letter to the Thessalonians, in verse 1, he says, live a life that is pleasing to God. Yes? So if you are living a life that is pleasing to God, you have been born again and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, nothing else is stopping you from being proud to be part of that group. You are living a life that is pleasing to God. But if you are not, revisit your pages again and see which page is missing. So Paul ends his letter by encouraging those Thessalonian church. He says, when we meet in the air, we will be reunited with the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. The assurance to all believers is confirmed by that text I read to you in John 14. Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and come and take you. And in Revelation 22 verse 20, it tells us Christ is coming back. Amen. So be ready. Be informed, my brothers and sisters. Don't be ignorant of the things that are before you. To conclude, Paul in his letter, he says this. We should carry on doing well. We must grieve with hope, not like the world does. It is in the resurrection issue where he confirms our destination. He says Christ has died and was resurrected. So the same applies to us. Those who have gone to sleep will be resurrected first and then us. I told you, no queue jumping here, ladies and gentlemen. There's order. There's order in heaven as well. When that trumpet sounds, you've got to follow. When Michael blows the trumpet of the Lord, then you will join if you are still alive to see Christ. Brethren, now that you have been informed of this order of events, let this information comfort you in your daily lives. Let this information be with you at work. Let this information be with you in your homes. Don't grieve without hope. One day and one day, we will be with Christ. I plead with God and the Holy Spirit to let this information remain with you so that it encourages you. It helps our church as well. It helps our families as well. We are a people grieving with hope. We don't grieve as this world grieves. It is my desire that this information will bring peace wherever you are. And it will encourage you. And this message must encourage other people as well. Before we sing our closing hymn, When the Roar is Called Yonder, let's pray together.